Hello and a warm welcome to The Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. No Steve Palmer this week, but fear not, we have James Mason in the hot seat. We are ready to preview this week's tournaments. They are the Houston Open and the Indian Open. A quick look back on last week's showings as well. We had the Valspar and the Singapore Classic. James, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while.
I know, it's been a long time. I'm right in thinking this is our first Sweet Spot show, I think. Or it's definitely the first Sweet Spot show of the season for us anyway. But some big shoes to fill. But hopefully I can manage to pick out some winners. But no, I'm all good. I was keeping abreast of the golf last week. I was away at Centre Parks up in Penrith with my partner and my child. So that was a good few days. But managed to squeeze back into the weekend back in Leeds so I could get a bit of the golf in.
Excellent. How's the kind of golf season gone so far for you from a punting perspective? Because the PGA Tour in particular and the DP World Tour has been big price winners, lots of first-time winners. It's been tough out there.
Yeah, it has been tough. I mean, I think it just shows the quality of both tours. I think I do quite a bit of sort of midway betting as well after round two. That's been a little bit more difficult. I think it's been harder, I think, sometimes to get big prices coming from behind. But yeah, it's there's been some tournaments where you kind of kick yourself a little bit when you realise who wins. You think, yeah, of course, when you look at it on a hindsight, you think that they were definitely going to win. But it's been up and down. I like to do sort of bigger prices at times, try and get as many places, but get a big price in there. I'm never really a favourite backer, although Scottie Scheffler at the moment has been coming in for anyone that has decided to back him. But yeah, it's been up and down, but I think I'm slightly up for the golf.
Okay, good. Well, not being a favourite backer may well tease us into the tournaments later on. We do have a very short price favourite in the Houston Open this week. Just a quick look back on last week's tournaments. James, we'll start with the Singapore Classic. It was won by Jesper Svensson. And when you say, you know, kicking yourself that maybe, you know, Jesper's been on the kind of radar for a little while now. First season on tour. I know Steve's backed him a couple of times this season. Stunning final round, wins in a playoff, clearly a very talented player.
Yeah, talented player indeed. And yeah, the fact, as you mentioned, he graduated from that challenge tour. I think he was fifth on the road to Mallorca, I think it was. And then it was 14th or 15th DP World Tour start, and he's managed to win. So it shows the quality that he has. So yeah, very impressive performance. I think last week's course, again, when you look back at it, it suited him. He's, you know, he's a good driver of the ball, hits it a fair whack. And yeah, to put a 9-under round in, especially when you had Kiradek Apibanrat as well, who is, again, you talk about inconsistency. He is so up and down, Apibanrat, because he can be sublime from one round and then he'll be terrible in the next. But again, that shows the complexity sometimes of trying to pick out a winner. But you've got to give credit to Svensson for holding his nerve as well. They both made birdie at the first playoff hole, and he's managed to dislodge Apibanrat there, the more experienced player. Looking at the players in behind, there were some decent showings, I thought. Sam Bairstow, he's sort of somebody who's been knocking on the door a few times over this season and last season as well. Good to see Andy Sullivan back in there as well. And Mathieu Pavon is the one I'm looking at the Frenchman, because he was great on the DP World Tour last season, got one of those 10 cards to go over to the PGA Tour, has been doing okay over there, some good results, and then he's come back to the DP World Tour. It just seems to have elevated him to another level where he's got that confidence, he thinks, where he comes back to a DP event and everyone looks at him now as somebody who is going to be challenging. And a fifth place finish for him, I thought, was a good result.
It was quite a fun closing stretch at the course we had last week with the Singapore Classic. There was opportunity, wasn't there? But there was danger as well. Unfortunately for us, it was sort of Richard Mansell doing well and then finished one over on the final four holes. And it seemed like that was the stretch from kind of 15 to 18, where the big moves were happening. You had Paul Casey pushing on late. So for these players at the top to kind of keep their nerve in what was a big tournament for them, it was really impressive.
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, I think they would have been looking, the players in the field at the top of the leaderboard, of someone like Paul Casey's stature and his calibre. I know Casey hasn't really gone all guns blazing since he's made that move to LIV Golf, but he's still a very, very good player on his day. And yeah, he didn't quite have the finishing round that I thought he would, but a 69, so just couldn't quite get it going. But again, like I said, it's even more credit to Svensson, just to, when others are maybe faltering in those, you know, those closing holes, he made a birdie finish as well, which is even more impressive. And I always think making a two is an even more impressive birdie than making a three or a four. You know, having to make a two at the par 3 17th and then make a birdie at the last, I just thought, yeah, he's got something about him. It'd be really, really interesting to see how his career does develop. And, you know, if at the end of this season he gets onto the PGA Tour, or whether he decides to stay on the DP for another campaign, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly he's got the confidence about him, and he's just another player that the Swedes are producing.
Absolutely, yeah. Some really talented youngsters coming through on the DP World Tour at the moment. So keep your eye on him. Let's take a look at the Valspar. It was won by Peter Malnati. It was his first tournament win in 9 years on the PGA Tour. Again, Jez, you know, you're going through the kind of short list of players at the start of the week, and I think if anyone had picked out the winner here, then incredibly well done, because he certainly wasn't on my short list.
No, and again, that just shows the quality that is on the PGA Tour. You know, somebody who is not on anyone's vision going into a tournament just suddenly comes up with an absolutely fantastic four rounds. And again, it's credit to him. You know, second PGA Tour title, you mentioned there, first win in 9 years, or 2015 is when he broke his duck. He's up to 65th in the world rankings. But a biggest thing as well for Malnati, he's got a two-year exemption. And he's also qualified for the Masters for the first time as well. So he's got that to look forward to in 2 weeks' time at Augusta National. And of course, we all get to see the bucket hat that he's wearing. I'm not a big fan of the bucket hat or cricket, but if it works for you, you may as well do it.
Well, he's kind of got the double bubble, hasn't he? He's got the bucket hat and the yellow ball. And I'm not a huge fan of seeing people, you know, spraying yellow balls about, but I did see that he uses it because of his young child said he sort of loves yellow balls over white balls. And when he sees the ball, he thinks of his child. So I was going to sort of come in a little bit harsh with for poor old Peter here, but I feel a bit hard on him. A quick word on Justin Thomas, James, because I think when he sort of hit the front or was one back at about the midway stage, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm really going to kick myself here, because JT was a relatively big prize for a fairly weak field last week. And then put up what I can only display as one of the worst sort of putting displays I've ever seen on the Saturday. I mean, this is a real concern for Thomas now.
Yeah, the thing with Thomas for me, I know everyone was saying, there's a lot of people saying he's back. You know, he's back to where he is best, you know, where he was in the world, winning tournaments, winning majors. But for me at the minute, there's still that niggling doubt in my head about Thomas, about, like you said there, the putter going cold or the irons don't go right. There's always one little part of the game where it just isn't quite there at the moment. And I don't know whether it's just he doesn't have the belief in himself. But when you don't have confidence on the greens, that's always the biggest thing for me, because, you know, everyone was going on about Scheffler, that he was brilliant tee to green. He was leading most statistics, but he wasn't putting well. Now he's got the putter right, he's winning everything. It was the same with John Rahm a year or so ago. He was winning, he was leading all these stats with driving, irons, approach, green and regulation, but he wasn't making the putts. And he was getting asked in interviews, why aren't you winning? And he's going, well, it's obvious. It's like, I'm not putting very well. If my you know, strokes gain stats for putting are way down, then that's what the issue is. And for Thomas, yeah, that putting display on, you know, his second round, his third round, I'm just not really sure about him, especially when we're going into major season as well, when you're starting with the Masters. For me, he's somebody that I'll be swerving at the moment, unless you see a big improvement with the flat stick leading into Augusta.
We'll get on to the Houston Open, obviously, to preview that later on in the show, James. But just, you know, the Masters is very much on the horizon now, and I suspect a lot of people have already, you know, picked their players earlier on in the campaign. But you look at the form that Scotty's had over the last couple of weeks, and we'll see if that continues this week. And you're kind of seeing that the players around him, no one's really putting up too much of a threat at the moment, are they? We're not seeing that stunning kind of run of form into the Masters. So you're kind of looking at the top of the market, Scotty, and you're going, who beats him?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's looking, they always look at McIlroy at the moment, don't they? And it seems to become kind of like a two-way battle when you go into tournaments with those two are there. But McIlroy at the moment, again, it's just something that you're not quite confident with McIlroy at the moment. I think he'll probably contend, McIlroy, at the Masters. But again, it's just that thing of completing the Grand Slam. Everyone goes in with that. And Scheffler's just such a cool, calm character. He's an even more relaxed Dustin Johnson, that kind of like nothing seems to faze him. You think surely you get a bit irate at times, but he doesn't really show it. So he's got that under grips. And I think now with the putting confidence, then, you know, Scheffler's one of those players where you're really going to have to knock him off the perch. So it'll be interesting to see, again, how he does in the battle for the green jacket. Looking at sort of performances from the Valspar last week, and if you're sort of looking into early contenders for the Masters, I think Xander Schauffele is ticking along really nicely at the moment. He's one to watch out for. Had another good performance last week. He's having runs of sort of top tens at the moment. He's got a great record at Augusta as well. So for me, Schauffele is one to watch out for. Cameron Young as well, just a note for him in the Valspar. Set an unwanted record of the most runner-up finishes since 1983 without breaking his PGA.
Is that right?
seven runner-up finishes and he's yet to win. I mean, it's incredible, really, when you think of what a player he is. And when he was at the Open, when Cameron Smith won it, you know, he was the player that was coming up from behind and challenging with Matthew as well. So you'd feel Young will break his duck at some point, but the longer it goes on, the longer that question mark comes about him. Another player as well that I'm slightly worried about heading into the Masters, even though he's won there before, loves it, is Jordan Spieth, because back-to-back missed cuts now for him.
Yeah.
Again, a bit like Justin Thomas, something just isn't quite clicking for him.
Yeah, both Spieth and Thomas, just one of those players where if you're on, you're never feeling confident. But then if they win, you go, oh, how have I not backed them? Look, the Masters is coming up. We've got some really exciting content here on Racing Post. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. We've got some really exciting announcements over the next couple of weeks. Let's get on to this week's tournaments. Then, James, a couple of good ones. We've got the Indian Open and the Houston Open. I know Steve isn't here, but he'll kill us if we don't go in chronological order. So we shall start with the Indian Open. Talk us through the course, the layout. What can we expect?
Yeah, I have to say, out of the two tournaments, the Indian Open is the one that I'm looking forward to the most. And I'll go into it now because it's played at the DLF Golf and Country Club. Now, relatively short time it's had. It was established back in 1999. That was when there was an 18-hole Arnold Palmer design Parkland course. It hosted a few events, the 2008 Johnnie Walker Classic, 2009 Indian Open, and the 2010 Evantha Masters. It then had a redesign in 2014 because Gary Player's company came in, Player Design. They built 9 new holes on some newly acquired land that was around there. And then they've incorporated and refashioned 9 of the existing Palmer-designed holes into a totally new configuration. That opened in 2015. So what it has made is an absolute beast of a course. When you look at the length, you think that, but it's not actually the length which is the big thing about it. It's just shy of 7,400 yards. It can play to the tips at 7,654, but it is the viciousness of this course. You listen to certain players, there are bogeys, doubles everywhere around this course. I think there was a 91 was posted last year. There was several rounds in the 80s. I mean, it is an absolute horrible course to play with. It's all about course management. It's all about picking your way around it. If you go into the rough, then you've got trouble. I'm not sure if you watched the last round last year. It was when Marcel Siem won the German.
Okay, yeah.
It was the 1-2 with Yannick Paul and Siem coming down the last. He hit his drive down the last of par 5. I think, right. He then hits a layup shot, but goes way too far, trickles into this thick, juicy rough. He's got all this water to cover to this green, and he hits it, and it's like he's worried, and he only just gets over, and then he manages the two-putter up the slope for the first, but you think that could have turned out into absolute disaster for him. So, you know, it's a brilliant course. It is long, but tree-lined, you know, abundance of dog legs on it, huge undulating putting surfaces. Water comes into play on 7 of the holes. Fairways are tight. It's a really, really tough test. There won't be a lot of players finishing under par. You want a bit of context for that. there was 64 players were under par at last week's Singapore Classic at the end of it. Only 24 were under par at last year's Indian Open at the end of it. And only three managed to get into double figures as well in the red numbers. So it shows just what a test it is. 10 par fours, 4 par fives and 4 par threes. So, yeah, expect this to be a really, really tough test. It's had four tournaments recently, 2017, 18, 19 and 2023 Indian Open. Of course, I had that break in between with the COVID circumstances. But your winners have been Shiv Chaurasia, Matt Wallace, Stephen Gallagher and Marcel Siem. That probably gives you a little bit of a clue of what type of player that this sort of does benefit. Gallagher, Siem, even Wallace to an extent, they're all quite tidy, neat players that don't go that sort of awry off the tee. So it should be fantastic. He's also held a couple of PGTI tournaments as well. It was the Karen Singh. He won the Kapil Dev Grant Thornton in 2023, and Varun Parikh won the year earlier in 2022 as well. So there's a little bit of course form to go on.
Okay, well, if we're usually going into these weeks, aren't you just hoping your player avoids double bogeys? We're probably hoping that they avoid quadruple bogeys this week. Does sound an absolute brute. I think I remember at the time that 91 being shot and going, oh, I might have a chance of breaking that if I was to go round there. Okay, how many selections for the Indian Open, James?
Gone for three selections.
Three picks. I should probably run through the top of the market before we get into them. Rasmus Højgaard is your favourite, around about 14-1. Jordan Smith, 18s. Ewan Ferguson, 22, alongside Anibal Lahiri, Bernd Wiesberger, Yannick Paul, Richard Mansell, 25-1. Alex Fitzpatrick, same price. Bigger the rest. So a familiar top of the market, James. Are you going there or are we looking elsewhere?
I'm going close towards that top end of the market for a couple of the selections anyway.
Okay, who's the main pick?
Going for Yannick Paul. Mentioned him a bit earlier there, talking about the course and his runner-up finish last year. But it's been a bit of an up and down 2024 for Paul so far. I mean, he was brilliant last year. And of course, he only just missed out on automatic qualification for the Ryder Cup, didn't get a pick. But he showed sort of decent form at times. He was tied eighth at the Dubai Invitational, missed the cut next time out of the Desert Classic, but then he was tied fourth at the Ras Al Khaimah. So, you know, he's got that in his locker. He's got the ability. He struggled a little bit on his last three outings, tied 35th, tied 65th, and a missed cut last week. However, the missed cut for me last week, that gives him more of a chance to reset and travel to this tournament, because it is a huge travel from last week. It's over 3,600 miles. You're going from Singapore to northern India. So it's going to take it out of the players who did the four rounds last week in Singapore. And I think Paul, he'll be a bit disappointed with his performance and he'll be wanted to make amends. And I think going back to a course that he nearly clinched the title on his course debut last year, I think he's definitely someone who can get himself into contention. You look at his stats as well this season, they do make for good reading. He's eighth in strokes gained approach, he's ninth in greens and regulation, and he's 19th in strokes gained tee to green. So, you know, that's what you want for me, is a solid tee to green player. The putter, that's what could do with some improvement. He did struggle with that club last week, but I'm confident enough, having seen him last year do well on these surfaces, that he could definitely be in the mix once again if that flat stick can get going. But it's not a case, I think, of where there's going to be loads of one putts made on these greens. It's going to be two putts. It's going to be a lag putting. And I think Paul definitely, having played on this course before, having played on these greens, is someone towards that top end of the betting. I think he looks pretty good for me.
It sounds like one of those tracks, James, where patience is almost key. And you're almost just trying to grind down your opponents, keeping the big scores off the card. And I think for some who love to go kind of pin hunting, that's probably quite a frustrating thing to have, isn't it? Because some people, just if they're not making birdies, frustration creeps in. But that's not the case this week.
No, I mean, because like you said, a lot of tournaments, you go in and you know you've got to make birdies, you've got to try and push, but it's all about that ability just to contain yourself and just plot your way around. You're going to have to find fairways. You can't take driver everywhere. You know, you've got to have really good course management. Like I said, I think Paul, having played it before, he knows these holes. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. I think probably he's someone, I think, with that little bit of experience, has got a really good chance. But yeah, this is definitely one, I think, where you want to plot your way around well.
I love those kinds of tracks. Yannick Paul, the main selection for James Mason for the Indian Open. Two more to go. Who's up next?
fourth selection is at Shubhankar Sharma. Now, it's been a long trophy drought for the talented Indian. 2018 was when he won his second DP World Tour title, but there were positive signs for me in Singapore last week. He finished tied seventh. You know, there's the hope that momentum can be taken into what will be one of his home events. A couple of key areas from his performance last week when I was watching were his driving accuracy and his putting. He was brilliant off the tee. He was supremely accurate. He ranked in the top 10 for accuracy for each of the first three rounds. Went a little bit off in the last round, but still he was around sort of 34th, 35th, I think, in driving accuracy on that last round. So that's something that's good going into this week. You know, staying on the fairways, as I mentioned, is absolutely crucial. And I mentioned earlier as well the big undulating greens at this course. Well, Sharma got the flat stick going in Singapore, especially over the weekend. He putted really well. And the putter has generally been pretty good this season for him. He's 13th in strokes gained putting, you know, along with the same ranking and drive and accuracy. If he can tighten up the irons a little bit, give himself more opportunities, you know, get that green and regulation percentage up more, I think he should challenge at a course that he does have previous at as well. His four outings here have seen him finish 40th, 7th, 27th and 13th. So certainly likes this kind of layout. And I think also he's just got that little bit of a boost, a little bit of momentum playing with the home crowd behind him.
We talk about the depth in the tours, James, earlier. I mean, Sharma's a great example of that. Such a brilliant player on his day, and he hasn't been able to win for however many years. It's frightening, really, the talent, even through these lower grade events on the DP World Tour as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of talk when people go, oh, winning on the DP World Tour, if you don't win on the PGA, then you're not as good a golfer. But you think, well, hang on a minute, there's differences between the two tours. I mean, the PGA, you could say it's just a bit of target golf for a lot of it, you know, get your big boom away. Whereas the DP World Tour, and this course especially, it's a thinker's course. You can't just go around there and smack it off the tee and leave yourself a, you know, 100-yard shot in. You've got to plot your way around him. Like I said, Sharma's been on the scene for a long time now, such a talented player, but when he can't win for a few years, it shows what it takes to get over the line and just how much of an achievement it is when you do actually manage to lift a trophy.
Absolutely. Shubhankar Sharma joins Yannick Paul. One more pick in the Indian Open. Who is it?
It's Darius van Driel. Now, a sweet spot hero, I believe, from a few weeks ago. You know, I think he's a big player coming into this one at a course that, again, should be right up his street. You know, he won the Kenya Open three starts ago. He went tied 74th in South Africa in his next outing after. I can understand that one because he's maybe still celebrating a little bit. They're still happy with his performance. But he then was tied 21st last week in Singapore. That was much more like it. You think he's got his head fixed again. And thinking about van Driel and sort of whatever type of player he is, again, driving accuracy, he's 16th in that. So he's going to regularly get in the fairways. And you look at his strokes gain stats for some areas. He's in the top 10 for approach, tee to green. Again, two areas that you want to have in this tournament. He's 11th in greens and regulation. He's a very tidy player. He rarely goes off course. Stay away from the rough. Give yourself a chance to hit the greens and make some putts. It's his course debut for him, but I'd be surprised if he didn't contend for me. Again, it's the putter. If you can get the putter going, if you can get that warmed up nicely and you know you make good lag putts, you make your two putts, you don't make many errors, then I think this is just a test for van Driel. And for the price he is and for the fact that he's won a few starts ago, I just think he's been overlooked for me.
He almost remained kind of the same price as he was when he won. And you'd have thought he'd have shortened up a little bit. I guess, you know, course debut angle means that, you know, he's not going to go off too short. But yeah, Darius van Driel, the third and final selection here. Just probably a quick mention for Rasmus Højgaard, James, who's top of the market. I suspect people will see that name and almost back in blind the talent that we know he has. What's putting you off him?
It's just the fact that he can at times go slightly wild with the driver. So out of the two Højgaards, Nikolai is the better driver of them both. I'm much more happy with Nikolai Højgaard when you're wanting someone who's going to, you know, hit it well but stay on the fairways. And Rasmus can at times go off course a little bit. And if you do that on this course, that's when you're going to be chalking up double bogeys, triples. And again, with the fact that his youthful exuberance, yes, he's very experienced in terms of the titles that he's won, but he might get in the rough and you think, I can count with this. I can knock this on the green. And I think, no, sometimes you've got to take your medicine. And I'm just not sure if he's going to be able to be that sort of that steady Eddie player that I want for this. there was one more I nearly put up, was Kazuma Kobori. Now, he almost made it into the selections. He's won three times on the PGA Tour of Australasia this year alone. So he's in fantastic form, but I'm just not sure whether he's ready for this sort of step up to this level. So his last two DP World Tour appearances, he's missed the cut. So I'm not ready to go in on him yet, but certainly I think he's one to keep an eye out for in the future. If he continues to win the lower levels and then does manage to, say, have a decent performance this week, make the cut on this type of test, then he's someone that I'll be keeping in my eyesight, I think, for the rest of the season.
What price was he?
He's around 66 to 1. Okay. That was all my thought. If he was maybe triple figures, I know I'm getting a bit greedy there, but if he was maybe triple figures, I would potentially have put him in there. But he's, even for me, it's 66 to 1 for someone who hasn't had many DP World Tour appearances and he's missed his cut on his last two at this level. He's just someone I think that's maybe, again, at 66 is a big price, but a bit skinny in that regard in the market.
Sure. Well, you've said it now. So if the viewers fancy backing him, then they can do it. You'll be pig sick if he does go and win. Okay, that's the Indian Open. We'll recap the selections at the end of the show. So if you've not jotted them down, that fear not. We will do so at the end. Let's move over to the PGA Tour. We've got the Houston Open. Talk us through the course layout here, James.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, Houston Open's been around since 1946. That was the first official event anyway. Byron Nelson won that one. This year, the tournament has moved to a spring slot for the first time since 2018. With it being just a couple of weeks before the Masters as well, it's a stellar field that is competing at Memorial Park Golf Course. It's hosting it for the fourth time in a row as well. They didn't have the tournament last year. That was because of the tweak in the schedule of where it was being played. So the defending champion the last time it was played is 2022, and that's Tony Finau coming into this one. It's a par 70, 7,412 yards, so a decent hit off the tee, but again, it's nothing too bad for most sort of a large proportion of your players on the PGA Tour anyway. 10 par 4s, 3 par 5s, and 5 par 3s to tackle. It was redesigned in 2019 by Tom Doak. He consulted Brooks Koepka as well during this operation, and there was a number of bunkers taken out, so they went from 54 bunkers down to 20 on the course. And you might think, well, why have they done that? That's made it easier. But it hasn't, because they replaced the bunkers with lots of big slopes and runoff areas. So what it was is, if a player missed the green, for your average Joe playing it in a bunker, it was harder to get out. But for pros, playing out a bunker is easy and they're fantastic. But, you know, the runoff slopes, it's that option of, do you try and put it up? Do you try and chip it up? And I think that, again, makes the course a little bit more difficult for them. Approach play, key to success, I mentioned there with the runoff areas and the slopes that they have. That's the primary defence of the greens. You look at the three course winners that we've had here as well. They ranked highly in greens and regulation, and also it was approach play as well and holding putt. So those sort of three areas are what I'm looking at. Tony Finau, I mentioned, is the defending champion. Carlos Ortiz and Jason Kokrak have both won here as well. But of course, they're live defectors, so they won't this tournament.
Great stuff. Really looking forward to this one. Let's take a look at the top of the market. Your favourite is incredibly short. He goes by the name of Scotty Scheffler. He's 11 to 4 to win this week. Next up, Wyndham Clark, 12 to 1. Sahith Theegala, 18s. Will Zalatoris, 20 to 1. Jason Day, 22 to 1. Defending champ Tony Finau, 25s. Siwoo Kim, 30 to 1. Bigger the rest. I was trying to think, James, the last time someone would have gone off this short in the PGA Tour. You see, don't you, John Rahm going off in kind of the Spanish Open at about 5-2 or something. Who would have been the last player to go off sort of 3-1, 11-4?
You probably, going back to maybe Woods days,
yeah,
a peak, or you may be looking at McIlroy in a DP World Tour event when, you know, whether he's gone over to Dubai, he's got great record, Desert Classic, something around there, but it's such a skinny price. And for how many players are you competing against, and for everything that can come in, and the fact that, you know, one wrong swing, or, you know, you don't quite get the putt and go and something goes off, it's an incredibly short price, and it's not one that I like to entertain, especially in golf tournaments.
Okay, we shall see who you go for. How many selections for the Houston Open?
three tips again for this one.
Three tips, and the main one is who?
Sahith Thagala, towards the top of that market, like you mentioned, but still available at a very, very nice price, around 20-1. Enjoyed a fine start to this PGA Tour season. He's particularly impressed over the last few weeks as well. He was fifth at the Phoenix Open, tied sixth at the Arnold Palmer, and tied ninth at the Players. You know, that's really good form from him for a player. I mean, I think he's one of the most likable players on tour, is Thagala. And of course, if you watched any of the full swing documentaries, then yeah, I think his sort of standing in the game and how people like him, his character, went up even more. But two stats mentioned before was greens and regulation and strokes gained putting. Now, Thagala is 29th and 7th respectively in those two. That's a big, big bonus for me going into this one. You look at his debut here. He was 61st in 2021 on his debut at this course, but then he came 22nd a year later. And then he's had a substantial improvement since then as well. He's a better player. He's a PGA Tour winner as well. He broke his duck last year. Expect him to challenge. You know, he's a good all-round player and someone I think that will really like this test.
Okay, Sahith Thagala, the main selection for the Houston Open. Two more to go. Who's up next?
Mitchell, a bit of a bigger price at around 40-1. Solid performer this season. Couple top 10s, three top 20s. He's always an assured player off the tee, is Mitchell. He's sixth in total driving, so there's no worries there. Big positives for me are his green and regulation stats that are going up. You know, he's sixth in that at the moment on the US circuit. He's also in the top 10 for strokes gained approach, tee to green and off the tee. So you think, well, hang on a minute, why is he not winning? Again, it comes down to the putting slightly. That's been the weakest part of his season so far. He is way down in the rankings. So you may say, well, why are you putting him up for this one if the flat stick's not working? Well, he did get a grip of these greens in 2022. He was ninth in the last edition of this tournament. So there's enough confidence in me to suggest that he can get the flat stick rolling well again and he can challenge. You look at his performance last week at the Valspar, it was a poor final round for him. He just blew up a little bit on the back nine. I think he knew he had to try and push and he made some errors. He made a double bogey, bogey here, bogey there. But the pleasing aspect for me at the end of it was his strokes gained approach. He led the tournament in that category. So obviously his irons are going well. He's hitting enough greens, just needs the putter to work. And, you know, I think for someone like Mitchell, he's got a chance for me, I think, at decent odds as well. He's never for me going to be someone that's going to go in as one of the top five in a tournament, really, unless it's really low level in the field. But he's someone that's got a lot of ability about him. He's won before in the PGA Tour and it just sticks out to me, that price.
Yeah, absolutely. He always gives you a good run for your money, doesn't he, Keith Mitchell? One more to go for the Houston Open. Who are we going for?
Joel Damon. It's another sort of full swing person who's came. I've not been watching it and just picking my players off there. He's yet to really spark into life, but he's 80-1 going into this. And he did impress recently when he was tied 11th at the Players' Championship. That, would think, was a confidence boost that he needed. He's enjoyed his two visits here before as well. He was fifth in 2021. He was ninth the following year. So his game seems to suit this test. And I'd be very surprised if you don't see another sort of strong showing on the cards from him. Again, I'm quite statty sometimes with my arguments for players, but he's 27th in greens and reg. He's 8th in strokes gained approach, 28th in driving accuracy. So he's not really going to go that far wrong, you know, from tee to green. Again, the area that has been lacking is the putting. He's way down in the strokes gained rankings like Mitchell is. But the fact, again, that he's putted well here for two tournaments in a row suggests that he has the knack of these surfaces. And, you know, it is a putting surface that he likes to be on. So, yeah, Damon, 80-1. He looks like he's worth a good sort of look going into the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, clearly a talented player on his day. We have to talk about Scottie Scheffler and James. You know, 11-4, 3-1, there or thereabouts for this week. There's almost felt kind of the feeling that if he turns up and putts well, he wins at the moment, and he may well do that this week. Steve was saying a couple of weeks ago that he almost hopes he wasn't playing this week, so he's completely fresh kind of going into the Masters. He has opted to pick. I mean, there is a world, isn't there, where he just rocks up here and wins by five and you go, well, actually I could have taken that price, but not for you.
No, not for me. Again, just for the fact that there's so many different things that come into play for a golf tournament. Like I said, Scheffler, he might not have full focus on this tournament. This just might be, you know, trying to keep the momentum going. But if he doesn't win this one, he's not that fussed. He's just won back-to-back tournaments, the Players being one of them, you know, defended his title there. And his mindset is already probably looking towards Augusta. It's looking towards the Masters. So, yeah, for me, it just those skinny odds, those really, really short odds, he provides no value for me. You know, especially when we mentioned the quality in the PGA Tour fields. I mean, like we said, who would have picked Peter Malnati last week to win? Nobody. I didn't see anybody suggest his name anywhere. So they can come out of the pack anywhere. And if Scheffler isn't quite on the game, or if the putter does go cold, yes, he's got it going now, but it could easily go away because that's the area of his game that is the weakest. Then certainly I think there's value elsewhere looking in this tournament. Like I said, Scheffler for me is already thinking about Augusta and just making sure that he's keeping this sort of momentum going, but doesn't necessarily mean that a victory is right up there sort of in his vision this week.
One that may catch people's eye at the prices, I mean, he's sort of quadrupled the price of Scotty, is Wyndham Clark. I mean, he only just lost out in the Players and quickly kind of putting himself in one of the brackets of kind of the elite, really. I mean, it's all areas of his game are fairly solid. And you're kind of just looking at down the names here. I know you've gone for Thagoe, who is, of course, a bigger price. But I think Wyndham Clark will interest a few this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. He was looked at just with sort of where he's taken himself in terms of career now since that major win, and he's kept going and he's added a few more titles along the way. He just seems to have that self-belief and that confidence about himself now that he belongs at this level. And like you said, a lot of areas of game are going well. His putting is going really well, but he gives it a good hit off the tee as well. I mean, watched a few weeks ago when he was group with Rory McIlroy, and I think that might have been the Players actually. And McIlroy was hitting it, and the commentators were going, oh my God, how far did McIlroy hit it? And then you see Clark hit it, and he was either going past him, or he was only just like 5 yards behind him. And then it was like, well, I mean, this guy can give it a really good hit. So yeah, he's just got that confidence about him at the moment. And certainly I think he will have his backers going into this tournament, but again, maybe just too short in the betting for me. But again, I'm being greedy with what I want for him because he is such a good player at the moment. And in this field, he definitely stands out along with Scheffler.
Were there any other that made the shortlist that didn't quite get onto the final three?
Mackenzie Hughes was quite close, more just because he's coming into this one in a little bit of form. Top five last week at the Valspar. He's had some decent enough performances at Memorial Park at this course over the last 3 years. I think he's had a 7th and a 13th, I think it was, when I was looking at him. So he's certainly someone who was nearly making the cut in there. And then there was one which would have been a big outsider, and again, I didn't quite go for it. It was Martin Traynor, the French-American. But he was someone I quite liked the look of because he's been doing well at sort of lower level events. It was the question mark for me of making the step up, obviously now going into a PGA Tour event in this field with some good players in it. Does he have the ability to probably place is what I would have been looking at, but you can get him when I looked at around 250-1. But he just missed out. He went out of my selections. I was happy to do three for both tournaments.
Three apiece, yeah, I really like that style. Let's recap the selections. What are your three in the Indian Open?
Yannick Paul, Shubhankar Sharma, and Darius Vandreel.
And the Houston Open?
Houston Open, we've gone for Sahith Theegala, Keith Mitchell, and Joel Damon.
Okay, really looking forward to this week's tournaments. I think it's just the one next week, isn't it? Is it the Texas Open?
We've got one on the PGA, Texas Open, and then LIV Golf Miami is on the schedule as well at Trump National Doral. Nothing on the DP World Tour.
Okay, I think it's yourself and Steve sailing the sweet spot ship over the next couple of weeks.
And I get to review my own tips next week and ask Steve yeah. They were. So, you know, it's all good. It's a different side of the camera I'll be on.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to tuning in for those. Of course, Masters on the horizon as well. I alluded to it earlier, but some really exciting plans here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. So stay locked in. James, thank you very much. As always, always a pleasure. If you are following in on any of James' selections, then please do remember to do so responsibly. The Sweet Spot will be back next Tuesday. See you then, everyone. Bye-bye.